The year was 1858. In the city of Boston, or Boston, depending on where you're from, there was a man, young man named Edward Kimball. Does that name ring a bell with anybody? Anybody ever heard of Edward Kimball? He was a Sunday school teacher who made it a habit to personally give each of his students in his class an opportunity to accept Christ as his Savior. He also made it a habit to stay in constant contact with his students, the young men that he taught in Sunday school. Now, this is before cell phones and emails and all of that. So he physically had to make an effort. But there was one young man he was concerned about who happened to work in a local shoe store. So one day, Ed Kimball visited the young man, and he found him in the back stocking shelves, and he took a moment to share the story of Jesus Christ and led the young man to accept Christ as his Savior. That student's name was Dwight L. Moody. You're shaking your head. You've heard this story, haven't you? Who eventually left the shoe business and became one of the greatest evangelists of all time. J. Wilbur Chapman was converted at a Dwight L. Moody evangelistic meeting. Billy Sunday was converted at a J. Wilbur Chapman, evangelistic meeting. Mordecai Ham was converted at a Billy Sunday evangelistic meeting, and Billy Graham was converted at a Mordecai Ham evangelistic meeting. Edward Kimball's action would remind us to not discount the small stuff. One visit changed the lives of millions of people through the lives of these gentlemen who became evangelists just because a Sunday school teacher took the time to visit one of his students. I welcome you this morning to worship, both here as well as online on Facebook. I want to especially welcome Miss Lindsay Jernigan this morning. Leslie. See, I read that without my glasses on. Leslie. I have a niece named Lindsay. That's the other problem. Leslie. I told her family she needs to sing every Sunday. But we're glad you're here, okay? And we look forward to you singing. Leslie. And we're glad that you're here this morning as well. I want to share with you a couple of things. One thing very important before we get into our time of worship. Next weekend is a most important time, and most of you should have already gotten a letter about this. There will be a prospective minister here who will come on Saturday for a meet and greet on Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 in the fellowship hall. He will also be here Sunday morning to share a message during this time of worship. I invite you to come and be here that Sunday, next Sunday, and Saturday to introduce yourself. Now, I'm speaking now from the standpoint of having been in that position several times in the last 45 years. And you all are good at this because you did it for me when I came as your interim almost a year ago. Oh, do you believe that? Golly. A year ago and 25,000 miles ago. Don't be afraid to say several times, depending on what action you take next week, to share your name when you go up to this gentleman. Hi, you remember, I'm Marietta Flowers. You know, of course, she only has to do that once for him. That's a compliment. But don't be afraid to introduce yourself several times. You all are really good at that because there's one of him, there's a bunch of you. And it's hard to remember names. Remember, I kept calling Bruce Bob for about 3 weeks. So, you know, do that. But more importantly, if not the most important thing, dependent on the action you take next week, should you vote to call this gentleman to be your pastor, please, please, please do not talk about it. Do not talk about it. You can make a prospective minister's life totally miserable where he currently serves if the word gets out that he's coming here. And it's not a good situation for that person or for you, because what it does is you get off on the foot of him perhaps having an issue with trust as far as you're concerned. And you don't want that. Don't think, well, I don't know anybody in where he is now. Doesn't matter. With social media, doesn't take but two people for the word to get out. And this is where the Methodists have it over us. We Baptists have to do it this way. Because on my part, from a vocational minister's perspective, people come up and say, you're not thinking about leaving, are you? No, no. When in fact, you're getting voted on that day. We're forced into being untruthful the way the process is. And that's sad, but it is what it is. So that's what we deal with. So let me encourage you. Be excited, but listen for cues from Tommy or Rachel as far as, you know, once, if you all vote to call him, once he makes that announcement where he is, and, you know, I'm sure one of them will say, give the go-ahead and it's okay. But please, until you get that word, please don't say anything to anyone about it, if you will. And I, from part of the minister position, I appreciate you doing that. And I know that that he will too. Invite others to come. Those who are not don't normally come, please encourage them, if they're able to be here, to come next Sunday and be a part of, and next Saturday to be a part of all that's going on. Okay, that's enough of that. We didn't come here for all this announcement business. And all I'm going to say is, on the back of your order of service, there's a whole list of stuff. Please read it. You know, I've always found it interesting that ministers are asked to read for you. And you can look at this and you can see everything there is to do. So, you know, find your place and have at it, okay? You got one more Bible school night? Two more. Is that still going good? Good. Good. All right. We're going to move into worship now. So I invite you again, as I re-welcome everyone, to stand if you're able as we sing our choral call to worship, hymn 436, Seek Ye First. Text is on your order of service. Let us stand together. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Share with me now our spoken call to worship. Why have you come to this place? Why have you come today?
We are tired in body and spirit.
Jesus bids you sit and be at ease.
We are hungry with nothing to eat.
Come and eat your fill.
But there are only 5 barley loaves and 2 fish.
There is plenty for all.
We will be found at home this year.
Jesus gathers the fragments of our lives that nothing may be lost. Let us pray. God of our hopes and dreams, we are empty and long to be filled. We are hungry and long to be fed. We are lost and long to be found. Gather us into your love and pick up the pieces of our lives, just as Jesus gathered up the fragments of the 5 loaves and 2 fish that remained after feeding the 5,000+ people. Call us once more to eat our fill and find our true nourishment in Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. Let us sing our hymn of praise, 354, Praise Him, Praise Him. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, hail Him, Jesus the crucified. His praises, who bore our sorrows, love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Sound His praises, victorious and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Thank you. You may be seated. Don't discount the small stuff.
Today's Bible story comes from the book of John, and it's about when Jesus was out preaching and it came time to eat, and they didn't have any food. But one little boy had what? You remember the story? He had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And the disciples bring him to Jesus, and the disciples go, there's no way 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish can feed all these people. But Jesus was able to do that. Not only that, he was able to pick up 12 baskets of leftovers. So we want to remember, no matter how young we are, no matter what we do, you're going to share a gift with us later this we can do it, no matter how small or how young we are. We can share God's love. So let's say a prayer. Dear God, don't ever let us forget, no matter how young or how small we are, we're able to share about you. In your Son's name, amen.
Thank you, Sarah. We want to come now to our time of prayer, and as we go to the Lord, let's remember, continue to remember Wendy Howard, who is at home, friend of Kathy Brett. Wendy lives in South Carolina, so let's continue to pray for her. I will ask, as I posted, some of you saw it on the church's page this week, the pastor at the Mount Home Baptist Church in Morganton, where Edwin and I were there just a few weeks ago for their 150th anniversary, Jerry Gamble passed away this week. He had been pastor of that church for 50 years. And so he pastored that church one-third of its history, which is pretty incredible. He had been having some health issues for several months, but that church will be celebrating his life this afternoon. So I'm sure right now, I don't know what form of worship is taking there, but I know they would covet our prayers. So I invite you to pray for that congregation. Remember Edwina, she's kind of, I would say under the weather, but at 85, 90 degrees, I don't know how that is, but she's just not feeling real great today. So please remember her as well. She regrets not coming, and it was a very lonely ride up here this morning. But we're going to do something a little different this morning. I want to start our prayer time by reading two verses from Matthew chapter 18, and then I'll explain how our prayer time will take place this morning. Jesus says here, again, I truly tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This morning during our prayer time, rather than start with a time of silence, we are going to have periods of silence throughout the prayer. And what I'm going to do when I begin is I'm going to read each name on our prayer list, our homebound folks, those who cannot worship with us. And as I do, there'll be a brief moment of silence, and I invite you just to breathe a prayer for that person and their family. And then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer in just a moment. So let us bow together for prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity for prayer that we can bring our petitions and requests to you. We can come to you and confess to you the shortcomings in our lives, which are many. And Father, we do that today. And we thank you for the forgiveness that you provide and the help that you provide to keep us focused on the right things in our lives. To keep looking forward and not continually behind us. God, we pray, thanking you, that you do throw our transgressions as far as the east is from the west and remember them no more. But Father, today we want to take a time, special prayer, for those of our family who are not able to be here today. Some can come occasionally, but not every Sunday. And so, Father, we want to take time this morning to pray for these individuals. And Lord, we ask now that you be with Geneva Broadhead. Father, bless Genevieve and Chris just now. For Tom and Ann Calkins. Father, we thank you for this couple who have given their lives to ministry, who ended that journey here at this church, and we pray your blessings on them. For Janet Collins. Lord, we pray for Janet. We know that she is struggling, and we pray that you will be with those who give her care as she continues to wrestle with the loss of Cliff. For Randy Copeland. Father, be with him today. For Byrne Davenport. Lord, we pray that Mr. Davenport will feel your presence even just now as we pray for him. For Brandy Harris. Lord, be with her each day. For Tommy Forbes. Father, we pray your continued blessings on he and his wife. For T.W. Hill. Father, be with T.W. and Debbie, and we thank you that he is able to come occasionally to worship, and we are always glad to see him here, but be with them today. For Charles Paul. Lord, may Charles feel your presence even now. For Ed and Verly Rainey. Father, we ask that you be with this couple as they continue their journey each day. For Phil Royce. Father, we miss Phil being here. We also miss Rosemary. And Lord, we just pray that you will be with Phil as he continues to deal with the grief and loss of Rosemary. But God, we just pray that you will uplift him today. For Jennifer Taylor's mother. Lord, we pray that you will be with this fine lady, and may she also sense your presence today. Cheryl Whitley. Father, be with Cheryl today. Randy Whitley. And Lord, we ask you also to be with Randy Whitley this day. For Janet Vinson. Lord, we thank you for blessing these folks and for giving us the time this morning to pray for them individually. And Lord, I pray that we will do that each day, just in the course of our activity. Just breathe a prayer, call a name. And Lord, I pray that you will bless those prayers in the lives of these individuals. Father, we owe you so much. And we love you so much. And we pray that you will be with us as we continue this time of worship. And we close our prayer by praying the way you taught us when you said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand now and sing our hymn of thanksgiving, hymn number 431, Jesus is Lord of All. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus.
is Lord of all. Lord of my thoughts and my service each day, Jesus is Lord of all. Will you surrender your all to now, follow his will and obey? Crown him as sovereign and for him his throne, give him your heart today. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all.
We read in Luke 12, Jesus' words, "Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moths destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Which leads to the question, where is your heart when you come here to this place? Is it in your family? Is it in your wealth? Is it in your limitations? I want to invite you today to sow an eternal legacy by giving to God from the treasures that you cannot take with you. For remember, there are no U-Haul trailers on hearses. You may be seated. From whom all blessings flow, praise him all creatures here below, praise him above the heavenly host,
Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Faithful Father, we thank you for giving the gift of abundant and eternal life. You have said that you are a good Father who gives us good gifts. Your generosity overflows to us. Everything we have is a gift from you. As we bring our offerings to you today, we give back to you from the abundant blessings that you have so graciously given us. May our gifts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God. Blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and strength be unto you, our God, forever and ever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it dawned on me just a second ago that I was so anxious to get to our prayer time, I forgot to read the Old Testament scripture. So, Leslie, before you come sing, I'm going to read, okay? Okay. All right. There are two passages in the Old Testament I want to share. First is from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. A man came from Belshazzar bringing food from the first fruits to the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he, Elijah, repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them, they ate and had some left, according to the word of God. And then Zechariah chapter 4, actually verse 6 instead of verse 10. He said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And then our New Testament or gospel reading today comes from John chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain and sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages wouldn't buy enough bread for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what is that among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, all 5,000 in all. Now remember, this is 5,000 men. It was women and children involved as well. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told the disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments there were five barley loaves left by those who had eaten. They filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that had been done, they began to say, "This indeed is the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. These have all been the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, at this time, we're going to be blessed by Miss Leslie. You come sing for us, honey.
Thank you.
You may not know this, but the resurrection and the feeding of the 5,000 are the only two miracles that are in all four of the Gospels. The only two miracles that appear in all four of the Gospels. And there's a lot that can be said from chapters 5 and 6 of John in the context of a message. Matter of fact, there are probably several messages in there. But suffice it to say that the events of chapter 5, where Jesus healed on the Sabbath and the local ministerial association jumped his case about it and made a big deal about it, forgetting about the guy who needed healing, more focused on the rules than the individual, forced Jesus across to go to another place, across the Sea of Galilee. The people followed him there because they had seen what he not only did there, but what he'd been doing, which is another message in itself about how all we're concerned about many times is what's in it for me. What's in it for me? If I get sick, Jesus does his healing stuff. If I get sick, I'll go find him and he'll fix me like he did that guy. Or if I get hungry after the feeding of 5,000, if we make him king, we'll never have to buy groceries again. What is it? It's all about me. It's all about me. What I want. And many times we get so wrapped up in that story, we forget about the little boy who that morning got up, told his mama he was going to go see this guy on the hillside who was supposed to heal people. And she packed him a lunch. He took his lunch. And in the course of the day, he ended up giving his sack lunch to Andrew, who some call the introducer, for he is one who introduced several of the disciples to Jesus. He introduces this young man to Jesus with his lunch. And the rest, of course, is history. That's the one story to remind us not to discount the small stuff. Don't forget the little guy with the lunch. He didn't have to give up his lunch. Think about today. You go up to a little child that's, you know, after church that Sarah gave him a goodie, and, you know, think about the Twinkie Sunday a couple weeks ago, right? Go up to a child after that service. Go up to Jack. Ask him if you can have his Twinkie. See what Jack says. Jack's not going to turn loose of that Twinkie. Lord have mercy, he almost took his sister's. But that's the nature of who we are, isn't it? Don't discount the small stuff. The second story I want to share with you this morning to illustrate this point is a story of three trees who had big dreams for themselves. The first tree said, "Someday I'm going to be a treasure chest. I'm going to be filled with gold and silver and precious gems, and I'm going to be decorated with intricate carving, and everybody's going to see my beauty." The second tree said, "Well, one day I'm going to be a mighty ship. I'm going to carry kings and queens and royalty across the waters to the four corners of the world. Everyone will feel safe in me because of the strength of my hull." Third tree said, "Well, I'm going to grow up to be the tallest and straightest tree in the forest. People will see me on the top of a hill and look to my branches and think of the heavens and God and how close to them I'm reaching. I'll be the greatest tree of all time. People will always remember me." Well, after a few years, their dreams would come true, for a group of woodmen came into the woods and happened upon these trees. One came to the first tree and said, "This looks like a strong tree. I think I shall be able to sell the wood to a carpenter." So he cuts the tree down. The tree was happy because he knew that a carpenter was going to make him into this fine, ornate treasure chest. Well, at the second tree, the other woodman said, "This looks like a strong tree. I can sell it to a shipyard." So the second tree was happy because he knew he was going to become this mighty ship. Well, one of the woodmen comes upon the third tree. And the third tree was a little frightened because he knew that if they cut him down, his dream would be over. One of the woodmen said, "I really don't need anything special for my tree. I'll just take this one," and he cut it down. The first tree arrived at the carpenter shop, and he was turned into a feed box. Not much there. placed in a barn filled with hay. Not really what he'd hoped and prayed for. The second tree was cut down and made into a small fishing boat. So his dreams of being a mighty ship carrying kings and queens to the ends of the earth came to an end. The third tree was just cut into large beams and left in the dark. That was it. So as the years went by, the trees slowly forgot about their dreams. But then one day, a man and woman came into the barn. She gave birth, and they placed the baby in the hay in the feed box that was made from the first tree. And the tree knew and could feel the importance of this event. And he understood that he held perhaps the greatest treasure of all time. Years later, a group of men got into a fishing boat made from the second tree. It went out into the sea, into the lake. But a storm came up. And the men woke the sleeping man that was there, and he stood and said, "Peace be still," and the storm stopped. And at that time, the tree knew that it carried the King of Kings in its boat. Well, eventually, years and years later, someone came and got the third tree. It was put together and it was carried through the streets as people mocked the man carrying it. When they came to a stop, the man was nailed to the tree and raised to the air to die on the top of a hill. When Sunday came, the tree came to realize that it was strong enough to stand at the top of that hill and be as close to God as possible. Why? Because Jesus Christ had been crucified on that tree. I think this story helps us remember when things aren't going our way, we need to remember that God has a plan for us and to not discount the small stuff. The last story I want to share with you involves a 6-year-old. How old are you, Leslie?
9.
Okay. 6-year-old little boy and his family went to a restaurant to eat. Well, the little boy said he wanted to say grace. So his mom said, "Sure, go ahead and say grace." So they all bowed their head. The little boy said, "God is good. God is great. Thank you for our food. And I would even thank you more if mom gets us ice cream for dessert. And liberty and justice for all. Amen." Well, naturally, everybody in earshot of the little boy chuckled a bit at his prayer. Except one woman that was in there. And she was heard to make this remark. "That's what's wrong with kids in this country today. They don't even know how to pray, asking God for ice cream. Well, I never." And the little boy heard what this lady said. So he burst into tears, asking his mom, "Did I do it wrong? Is God mad at me?" As she assured her son that he had done a terrific job with the prayer and that God certainly wasn't mad with him, an elderly gentleman approached the table. He winked at the little boy and said, "I happen to know that God thought that was a great prayer." "Really?" said the little boy. "Cross my heart," the man replied. Then he leaned down and whispered, "Too bad she never had ice cream or never asked God for ice cream. A little ice cream is good for the soul." Well, all the kids got ice cream after dinner, obviously. The little guy, when he got his Sunday in front of him, he sat there for a minute, though, and stared at it. And then he did something incredible. He picked up his ice cream, and without a word, he went over and placed it in front of that woman. And with a big smile, he said, "Here, this is for you. Ice cream is good for the soul sometimes, and my soul is good already." Don't discount the small stuff. As humorous and as thought-provoking as those stories are, it begs a question. What difference will you and Murfreesboro Baptist Church make in the lives of others in the future? God's answer is this. Don't despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see work begin. The truths of these stories are that God always has a plan, and much of the time it doesn't involve a lot of noise and fanfare. Very quiet, very unassuming, like giving ice cream to a lady who needs her soul satisfied. But we don't discount the small stuff. The physical hunger of those thousands of people was met because a little kid gave up his lunch. Even though some of the disciples discounted as being too small of an amount to feed those folks. Just like the man did in our Old Testament reading when he brought food to Elisha. Each of the trees got what they wanted, just not in the way they imagined. See, what we deal with is the fact that, yes, God, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do as long as it's a big thing. God doesn't work that way, is illustrated by what we've already visited this morning. Now sure, you know, Moses parted the Red Sea. None of us is going to go down and part the Chowan River. We're not. But what we can do is maybe have a boat there that can help take somebody across. And that's a very simplistic illustration, but you get my point. We want to part the Chowan River. We don't want to do something that we think is insignificant, forgetting that it might be the most significant thing that that person encounters that day, that week, that month, perhaps even in their life. The innocence of that six-year-old in the restaurant hopefully made a difference in that lady's life that he gave that ice cream to. The point to this morning is this. We don't always know what God's plans are for us. We don't. We have the promise we read in Jeremiah. You know, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, etc., etc. But we don't know for sure. We know He knows. And that's where faith comes in, and that's the hard part, is it not? We just know that His ways are not our ways, but His ways are the best ways. For if you place your trust in Him, you'll be amazed at the outcome. But don't discount it just because it's not big enough or flashy enough and all that goes with that, any other adjective you want to put in there. Because these acts of kindness, the ones that may not seem like much to you and me, may be game changers for another person's life. It may be what they need at that point in time on their journey. As you call a new pastor, remember that. Remember that. The tendency is to jump out and do big things. And God may lead you to do that at some point. But God may lead him to do something that you may think, well, that's not much. Nobody's going to really know it's us doing it. That's not the point. The point is not that everybody knows that Murfreesboro Baptist Church is doing this thing or that thing or helping this thing. The point is that you're doing it. Because what did Jesus say? If you go out and you blow your own trumpet, you already got your reward. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. You go out and you do ministry, but you don't put it on the front page of the newspaper. You don't have to do that because word gets around. This is a congregation that cares about other people, regardless of who you are, what you look like, what you smell like, what color you are, what kind of car you drive, whether you belong to this club or that club, whether you went to that school or this school, it doesn't make any difference because they believe that because you created an image of God, you matter. But don't discount the small stuff as it comes to ministry to all people. There's an old song. I'm not going to sing it. Little is much when God is in it. How many of y'all heard that song? Some of you have. Man, not many. Go home and Google it. Little is much when God is in it. Labor on. I can't remember that. It's an old hymn, yet Bill Gaither's got some kind of credit for it. I don't know if he rearranged it or what, but it was written back, gosh, I don't know, in the 30s maybe. But the whole point is, we do this labor. We don't labor in vain, because whatever we do, God blesses it if we're following His leadership, is the point of the song. Little as much when God is in it, especially when it relates to ministry to others in need. Let us pray. Father, help us not to put our own limitations on what You want to do simply because we think it's not flashy enough or exciting enough or whatever. Help us realize that the simple gesture of finding someone shelter for a night, or giving them a box of food, or providing someone some other kind of assistance, to go and clean up someone's yard, to do these kinds of things, which we think is not a big deal, when it can be a major deal for the one who's receiving the ministry. And help us not to fool ourselves into thinking that, you know, well, I'll just write a check and it'll all be good. God wants us to get our hands dirty. So God, help us do that. Help us not to be afraid. Help us to step out on faith, just as Peter did when he walked to You on the water. We'll never know what would have happened had he not looked to his right or his left, because he got a little frightened. Help us keep our focus where it needs to be. Forgive us where we haven't done that. And may this be the start of a new era, a new chapter in the history of this congregation as it begins its 176th year in the near future. So God, be with us now as we conclude our service. Speak to hearts. And Lord, help us to be who You've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of commitment and invitation is hymn 484, The Love of Jesus Calls Us. If you're here today and need to come for prayer or some other feeling that God has put in your heart, impression that He's made, please come, and I'll be here up front to receive anyone who comes. Let us stand together. 484. The love of Jesus calls us.
The love of Jesus calls us, our joyous praise to sing, our deeply felt thanksgivings now together bring. All of godly blessings unasked yet still receive, and for the generation faithfully believe. Love of Jesus calls us, that we may always be companions on a journey where all the world may see that serving Christ is freedom which time does not destroy. Christ's command is duty, and every duty joy. The love of Christ us calls us to go. Challenge all the Christ has freed us, that prisons are no more. For those who seek his kingdom, Christ opens every door.
Thank you for your presence this morning. Leslie, thank you for being here, honey, and singing for us. Look forward to hearing you again sometime. Don't forget next week, this Saturday and Sunday, and please remember those comments I shared earlier in the service as you all meet. Now, I will not be here next week, nor will I be here the 6th. Dr. Bazemore will be back the 6th, and I appreciate his willingness to kind of fill in when we're out of town. So I'll be back with you on the 13th. We will be having communion on the 20th of August, okay? It's not a special Sunday. It's just time to have communion, so we're going to have it on the 20th. So those of you who volunteer to help, just kind of put that in the back of your mind. Thought to take with you from Gandhi, actually. No matter how insignificant the thing you have to do, do it as well as you can. Give it as much of your care and attention as you would give the thing you regard as most important, for it will be judged by those small things that you will be judged. Little is much when God is in it. Thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you all for being here to support Leslie and joining us for worship. And we look forward to her singing again every Sunday. And we no, I'm just kidding. She's sitting here going, what? No, I'm just kidding. Let us bow for our benediction. Now as we go, let us remember that God is big enough for even our smallest tasks, holy enough to sanctify even our most menial moments, great enough to give significance even to the little things in our lives, and in them to give us precious and particular joys. In Christ, by His Spirit, there is indeed joy to find in every station, not just in the height, in the bright, shining public flashes of our various vocations, but in the smallest, most menial, seemingly insignificant moments. For we go nowhere by accident. Whenever we go, God is sending us. Wherever we are, God has placed us there for a purpose. Christ, who indwells us, has something He wants to do through us wherever we are. Believe this and go in His joy, grace, power, and with His peace and blessing. Amen.